So the love letter, sure they love God. Sure God loved them. Sure God put them in the body. But as we'll see this afternoon, on that fourth seal, we got to take a rapture. We got to take a body change. We got to have a resurrection. We got to have all these things in line. Well, what's Paul lining up? What's he lining up? We're going to get over and read where Paul says that the Word is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Yes.
Dividing the joint and the marrow, the soul and the spirit. Well, the joint and the marrow is the flesh.
Right.
The soul and the spirit.
Right.
Now, you can't be a real person without the soul and the spirit.
That's right.
Now, you can be a real person without the body. Sure you can. Then people in another dimension don't have their earthly body. Their earthly body is still here.
Right.
And they're really the real. That's why Brother Bram said that the soul is the real you. This is not the real you.
That's right.
This is what was permitted after the fall to come down for us to fall so that Paul can write about this right here, about redemption. Of, he said, I pray that your whole body, spirit, and soul be preserved. He didn't see that. He was prophesying. Today, you and I must live that out.
That's right.
That's our whole thing about the opening of the seals. It tells you what? Where you come from.
That's right.
What you're doing here and where you're going.
Right.
But it does that while you're alive. The ones that are gone on, they know where they're at. I mean, they're in their theophany. It's that real person. It's that one that was in the mind of God before the foundation of the world.
That's right.
Truly. Right?
But this rotted, right?
Yeah, this is still here. It rot. Well, now you got to remember too. It goes back to the dust because what did God tell Adam? From dust thou come, to dust thou shall dust thou shall return. Why? Because what Adam did. Now the second Adam come and took that same dirt, put it in the ground, and then he brought it back. And he says, I'm alive forevermore. I'm the first and the last. I'm alive forevermore. So that's what you and I have to come to. But there's that other group, that separate group. That's the we group. We which are alive and remain. That won't lose their earthly body.
Right.
That it'll change right in the time we stand on the earth right here. So that you look at these different groups of people. And surely it's the bride. It's one group. But there are different compartments. It's like I told you last Sunday, or whenever last time we prayed. And I'll read it tonight, or this evening, about the box. Brother Brown said, every age, God's got a box. Here's the box. This is what this age was supposed to do. This is what this... And he said, they could do nothing but that.
That's right.
Amen?
Right.
But now they were in a time of a closed book. Sure, they had revelation. Sure, you know, they could open the Bible. But the Bible wasn't completely revealed until now, the Eagle Age. Now you and I have what no other age had, is a full revelation of our body, our spirit, and our soul, how they work, where they're going, where they came from, what they're doing here, where they're going. Right? Because you can't take this body into another dimension. Those people got to come back here. Remember they told Brother Brown, we have to come back to earth. All right, so they got to come back and pick up. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent those that hinder, not hinder those that are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive, there are the we again. We which are alive and remain shall not prevent or hinder them. What? They're going to come back and pick up their earthly body. They're actually going to be glorified before we are. But what we preach will bring them into this dimension. Well, coming into this dimension, they got to come back as a human. They were humans to begin with.
That's right.
Know where you come from, what you're doing here, where you're going. If you look at the seals that way, you'll understand them better. Not all the symbols and the this, that, and the other, but you got to know where you come from. That's why the people that have brought these doctrines about, you know, that little seed. Well, you know that's okay, that's fine. But you got to know what it was, where it came from, what's it doing here, where's it going? Okay. The problem is, they know it came from the mind of God, but they don't know what it's doing here. Okay? So it's just plain and simple. When it comes to what you're doing here, it has to include the whole plan of redemption.
Yes, ma'am.
It's like we'll talk this afternoon about the I will restore. Now, God said, I will restore, but he'd do it in four stages. We're back to the box again. There's only four ways that they were eat. There's four ways they're going to come back. No other way is going to happen. No other way than that. But he will restore. He already promised, I will restore. And he's going to restore us. And by restoring us, he's going to restore Israel. All right? So the wonderful things that we got coming. Now, then is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, not my flesh, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Now, he's not talking about his soul.
Yeah.
He's not talking about his soul.
No.
Now, Paul's a redeemed, born-again prophet, church-age messenger, writing 80% of the Bible. He's not unconverted. He's got to be a converted Christian. So what's he talking about? He's not talking about his flesh, and he's not talking about his soul. He's talking about that spirit realm, that old wretched man that I am. We'll read it in a little while. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Even Paul was working under a closed book. He saw redemption, but he didn't see exactly how to get to it. Because he's in the grave. Is that okay? He's in the grave. So he's waiting on you and I. Paul became a they. They which, you know, they look back, you know. They without us cannot be made perfect. Paul became a they. How to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. Your soul's good. If you're born again, your soul is God. It's not just good. It's God. Amen? So you can't blame it on the soul. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Coming from the soul says, no, don't do that. Coming from the spirit realm, yeah, I say harsh things, not curse. But I say bad things. I get a little upset. Okay? Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Now, Paul, where's that sin? It's not in the soul. It's not in his body. It's in his spirit realm. Memory, reason, conscience, faith, imagination. I find then a law. Don't move. I find then a law that when I do good, evil is present. Right? Now, we just have to realize that. What's our problem? What our problem is we yield to the other one more than we do to God.
Yes.
When I do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, he's going way down. That inward man is the soul.
That's right.
But I see another law in my members. There's no war in your soul if you're born again.
Amen.
You can't, your soul can't, what is it warring against? It is God. We'll see on this fourth seal, death is destroyed. We're going to see that Satan is cast out of heaven. Satan is cast out of you.
Right?
Warring against the law of my mind, not my heart.
That's right.
Warring against the law of my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Up here, not down here, up here. All
right?
And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. He's trying to get that spirit realm to move, because his next statement, there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, now that's the life of Christ, okay, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, now through the flesh, not the flesh, through the flesh. God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. And why? He was born a human. He was born into this dimension under a fallen condition. He was dying. His body was getting older. sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law, let me get rid of this right here, I'll start back next time. That the righteousness of the law, not the law, the righteousness of the law, because remember, the law is spiritual. If we would have took the law, the Ten Commandments, and saw that that was the grace of God and not a book of rules, they wouldn't have done what they did. You know why? They didn't have the love of God in their soul. The only way you can love God and do the commandments is to have God in your soul. Because they didn't have Him. They always leaned to their carnality the whole time. I hate to say this, but sometimes even the prophets. Back in the Old Testament, they leaned to their flesh. David. All the different ones that Abraham that did the things in the flesh that were not becoming of a Christian in this time. Right? They just didn't have that to lean to. But now what? But watch. That righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. Because if you walk after the Spirit, it's lining the rest of it up. The rest of it's being lined up. I said being born again, being lined up. All right? Through the statue of a perfect man, through the things that we're doing, or not doing. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are of the Spirit are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So they do the things, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now what is that word? Let's look at the word carnal.
One leg's hanging off that. We don't want it to fall off. Push it over on your thing.
One leg what?
Push
this one?
Push your computer
on. It's sitting on it. It's not hanging over. Anyway. Alright, look. The question. We always say carnal. Because you never had a carnal. Adam never had a carnal mind. He had a brain. He had a human body, but it was not carnal until sin came in.
Okay?
It was not carnal until sin came in, because he was God of the earth.
Yes, he was.
Oh, he was the God of the earth. Okay? So let's go down here a little bit further and watch this. Flesh, the soft substance of the living body which covers the bones and is permeated with blood of both man and beast. The body of a man, look, used of natural or physical origin, born of natural generation. That's you and I.
Right.
We were born natural genealogy, all of us,
right. Because
of this. Our DNA goes back to somebody that's on the face of this earth or has been on the face of this earth. That's where that came from. Your flesh didn't come from God in the sense that it was godly.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Your flesh came from an act that was permitted by your mom and daddy to get you here.
Okay.
I'm like Brother Brown. The virgin birth, to me, is very simple.
Yes.
God took one germ, one egg, right, placed it in a woman, but the way you and I got here was, well, we understand that. Look at the odds of millions of germ and hundreds of eggs. Multiple times, and then here you are.
Right.
Okay? You know, it had to be the hand of God to get you here anyway.
Amen.
Amen? So we know where we came from.
Yes, ma'am.
It wasn't a natural seed, though, but a natural seed had to be brought into existence to get you here because we're in the time of redemption.
Right.
The before doesn't need redemption. This needs redemption. The after doesn't need redemption. This is where we need redemption. Amen? Born of natural generation, the sensuous nature of the man, the animal nature, that's the carnal mind. Remember, Adam didn't have carnal thoughts before what was introduced to him was introduced to him, and he did what he did. Is everybody all right with that? Okay. And it is truly an animal nature.
That's right.
Amen. The animal nature with cravings which incite to sin. The physical nature of man is subject to suffering. But we know it's a living creature because the carnal mind is enmity. Opposition. God said, I'm going to put enmity between thy seed. I'm going to put what, a division or an opposition. I have to because I'm God. I have a law. He put Adam under a law. I got to have that. I got to have it on.
Yeah.
She said that this thing was on the recording. The camera picks it up. If I don't, I'm going to mount. That is low. That's low as it'll go. Let's see how that'll work.
Yeah.
What we may do next Sunday is put it in that room in there. But I notice this wind don't mind. She's like Jim. She don't mind having a little wind blowing on her. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. We were born here with a carnal mind. That's our problem. But what did our carnal mind do before we were born again? Paul. It leaned toward... Rebecca, did you lean when I leaned? That was good.
Yeah.
You did it in cue. You were standing up and I said, I'll be like that, and she went... on cue, one more time. But we leaned to that because why? We were born a carnal nature. Remember, when Jesus came on earth, He did not have a carnal mind. Why? He didn't have a carnal mind because he didn't say, well, I came from my mama and my daddy and they did this and they were that. He had no earthly genealogy. That's our problem. What we said, well, when you saw carnal, generation, genealogy. Our carnal mind tells us we were born from an act from mom and daddy that was born from an act from grandma and grandpa that was born. And then we take and lean to that. Jesus didn't have nothing to lean to. He came from the Father. He came from God. He goes back to God. His generation started in a virgin womb. You didn't start in a virgin womb. You and I didn't. Nobody on this earth started in a virgin womb. So he didn't have that carnal mind. Now listen, that didn't mean that Satan didn't talk to him every single day. He did. But Jesus could just say, "And our, you know what our problem is? What's our problem? We're earthbound. I do this because of..." And we lean to what? What we've done before. Jesus didn't have that. Like I said, he didn't have a... Well, I walk this way because my daddy walked. I think like this because... No. He thought like the Father thought. And that's what he said. He said, I only do that which the Father showed me. Now, we have never done that. I told my kids one time, I said, y'all want to be famous? I said, go on Oprah Winfrey and you'll make millions of dollars if you'll tell them you did exactly what your parents told you to do. Because they ain't a person since the dawn of time did exactly what their parents... But you know what? Jesus said, I only do that which the Father shows me. We can't say that. But now, under the born-again regeneration, we should.
Okay.
We should. I say we should, but we got to run it through that spirit realm. We got to run it through that spirit realm, the carnal mind. Because remember... If you're born again, it's took you out of carnality in the soul. You're born again. Done. Finished. Can't go back. I thank God for that. Because other religions, you can lose it, you can gain it, you can find it, you can lose it, you can lose it, you can find it. No, you can't do that in the way we see the born again experience as being God did it, ain't going to take it back. God ain't never broke a covenant. Okay? And His setup with Abraham as an unconditional covenant, and that's what we live under, is an unconditional covenant. But think about it though, our carnal mind is all put on condition. Think about your life. When you get up in the morning, everything you do is on condition.
That's right.
If I don't get up when that alarm goes off, I ain't going to have a job. If I don't fix this, that's going to happen. Everything's under a condition. We have a condition. All right? But with God, there's no condition. Once He comes in and lives in your soul, there's no condition. Your spirit has to live under a condition. Because it's fallen. It's memory, reason, conscious, faith, and imagination. Right? And list, you know what? List those things down and just think about it, really. That's our worst problem.
Yes.
That was Paul's worst problem. He remembered persecuting the Christians. He remembered persecuting the very people he would sit and talk to. And that's why, oh wretched man that I am, the things I do, I would not, the things I would not, I do. Paul was as much a human. That's why him and Brother Branham I put together as far as their life. Now, Brother Branham didn't persecute Christians, but he and Paul were both humans. And Paul admitted in writing what he did. Brother Branham admitted in writing every one of his mistakes, every one of his whatever he did. Okay, so did Paul. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. So if you be that the Spirit of God, if so be, see there's that if. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, not on you, I'm reading in the book of Ezekiel. Read those old prophets. Ezekiel said, the Spirit of God came in me and spoke. But then you see later that it left because it couldn't reside. But you and I must look at this new birth as God coming and staying there, being pleased to dwell there for some silly reason. He loves to dwell in me, you know. So, and he's happy with that. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead. Not physically. You don't physically die when you get the new birth. The old husband is spiritually dead. The body is dead because of sin. But the spirit is life because of righteousness. But, verse 11, but if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. Now this is our promise. By his spirit that dwelleth in you. If that spirit doesn't dwell in you, then your mortal body is not going to be quickened. Now you can say quickened. You can say quickened. When you got born again, there was a part of you that was quickened anyway. Okay? The quickening power of God put the old man, killed the old man, put himself in. Brother Brown said, you and him there as person. And it dwelleth in you, not on you. There's a lot of people can have the Spirit dwell on them, especially in this end time, and be anointed ones. And it be the real Spirit of God that anoints them. Therefore, brethren, watch this summation. We are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. Now, Paul's not ignorant. He didn't go sit in a cave and say, well, God, you're going to feed me. You're going to clothe me. You're going to bathe me. Lord, you're in here now, and I'm just perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. And that's our problem. We still die because we live after the flesh. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. What's that word mortify mean? You know what mortar mix is?
Yes.
Mortar mix is concrete. It makes concrete.
Yes.
Pretty interesting. Paul would use that, but look. To kill. Become dead. Put to death, kill, mortify, to put to death. Metaphorically, to make, to die, destroy, render, extinct. Render extinct. Because truly, look, the old you, if you're born again this morning, hallelujah. If you're born again this morning, the old you is extinct. That's what we got to realize, though. What we do is, though, is we pull all the bones back together, and it's kind of like they do over in the museums. They got all them relics of them dinosaurs. But what it is, it's the bones they've dug up. They're dead and gone, but they put them all back together.
Mm-hmm.
That's just what we do. We dig up all them old dead bones in our what? Memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. By death, to be liberated from the bond of anything. Literally, to be made dead in relation to something. How about that? By death, to be liberated from the bond of anything. Literally to be dead in relation to something. So what's he saying? If we live in the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, through the filter, through the memory, the conception of the man, do mortify, kill, destroy the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now, your body don't have deeds, it has functions. Everybody see what this word here? Your body has functions. Everybody knows what that is. We sweat, we eat, we do all those other things. That's functions of the body. That's not deeds. What is a deed? A deed is a doctrine. But if you mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, kill, do away. That's what we're doing now. We're doing away with that old Adamic nature that's still trying to get in. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now here's where we want to look at. Paul said all this down to verse 13. And down to verse 13 we see that Paul is setting up a positive, something positive. Very first thing he says, there is therefore now no condemnation. Why is he writing all this? Because we don't believe it. Hello. You know, because if you really believe what I said, if I come up to you today and say, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are Christ Jesus who walk not after flesh and after spirit, we've gone on. You'd never have to come back to church.
That's right.
There is therefore now no condemnation. So where does the condemnation come from? All this from verse 1 to 13 that Paul keeps trying to talk about. And from chapter 7. The things that I would not do, the things I do, I would not. But watch what he's doing right here. Watch how he hones it in. He's bringing it right here. He's bringing it. Now, he didn't bring the capstone, but he brought the message.
Yes.
He brought the message.
Yes.
Because Brother Branham brought the capstone message through the Bible. So it had to come from all the people. Paul, Peter, James, John, everybody that wrote the Bible. Okay? So they were preaching on the headstone, they just don't know what to call it. They didn't know what to call it. So now they're calling. Brother Branham is calling it the headstone message. Paul is telling us here, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now to be a son and daughter of God, you've got to be born again where? In your soul. Not in your spirit, not in your body, in your soul. Right? For if ye have not received, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. That's, well, we'll talk about it next Sunday. We won't have time right now. Ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. This is what you've received though. But you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry. That word is translated to daddy, daddy, father, father. Abba, Father, which is Father, Father. You're continually saying Father, Father. Now, the Bible says, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So what happens when you're born again? Your soul is set free from this. We are so contrary to each other. I'm not talking about each other. I'm talking about each other.
Right.
To that soul and that spirit realm. Listen, that soul realm is not in bondage. It has no fear. Where does the fear come? Memory, reason, conscience, affection, imagination. I've been taught all my life I can't walk through that wall. Because of what? A law of science that says my molecules, right? Now, it's not the law of God. The law of God says, if you're like me, on the day that he met his disciples, that wall wasn't even like a piece of paper. That wall was like it wasn't even there. He walked right through the wall and became so back together, though, that he eat fish. You know, in other words, that was the whole key. They could say, well, you're still a spirit. We know a spirit floats in and out. You know, and Jesus said, give me some fish. Give me some fish.
Okay.
And I'm sure when they handed him the fish, they thought probably it would, you know, fall through his hand and hit the floor. No, it was solid. He took that fish, he put it in his mouth, he chewed it up, he ate it. It disappeared into his human body. So all these things they had a hard time with. Well, nobody ever done that before. I mean, yeah, Lazarus did it, but Lazarus died again. This man didn't die again. He died what? Once for all, the Bible tells us. Alright? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. There's nothing in the message, there's nothing in the Bible that says we must fear, except have the fear of God.
Right.
Not fear God.
Right.
Have the fear of God.
Right.
Amen? Why don't you fear God? We're supposed to come boldly to the throne. We're supposed to do all these things now to where... I'll get to it in a minute. But you have received the spirit of adoption. Not adoption. The spirit of adoption. Because the only way you can get in line is to be born again. Because what does born again do? Born again takes you out of the family that you were born here with and puts you in a family of God. As much as great as our parents are, they can be multi-billionaires. They can't give you eternal life.
Right.
They can't give you even a hope of... They can't give you a hope of tomorrow.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Just like we saw just a few minutes ago with a little baby that just passed away. Two weeks old. Who would have thought that? But... See, we're not in control, but a God, we have a God that's in control.
Amen.
We have a God that's in control. And you know where He's at?
Yeah, that baby's not
dead. Oh, that baby is fine.
That's right.
But where is that God? That God's in you.
Amen.
So, the Spirit, wait, right here, 15. We're going to read, because we're going to back up next Sunday. Because this is... This is where we come into not just being heirs of God and joint heirs of Christ, but to come to authority. Come to authority, right? For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby you cry, Abba Father. You call on what? Your Father. Not your earthly Father. Earthly fathers are great, but you know what? Sometimes you can't find them. Sometimes they do make mistakes. Sometimes, look, a lot of us, or a lot of y'all, they're passed on. So you can't contact them. But this one, this father don't pass on.
Right.
He passes out. Himself. He passes himself out. He don't pass out. He passes himself out. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. All right? Now, what are you saying, Paul? And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. Brother Brown said, Jesus Christ inherited eternal life in His flesh to come back on you to do the same thing for you. Because He did not have eternal life in that flesh when He walked on the earth. But when He came out of that grave, He was eternal body, spirit, and soul. And what did He do? Joint heirs, so He gives it right back to us. There's that big old word. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. Because remember, Christ is already standing in the glorified body, but what is the glory of the Lord? Brother Brown told us what the glory of God is. You. His bride is His glory. Alright? When you see, like the brother was preaching on the glory, my brother Quinn, the glory of God, He was God before... He was God.
Mm-hmm.
Back before the eternal, the prophet said.
Mm-hmm.
But He had an attribute that He was lonely. He had us all there. You know what? He could look down through time and see us, everyone come. But that's what I'm telling you about these people that say we always was this. We had to be that in the mind of God. No doubt it was, we were in His thoughts. Because His thoughts are eternal. But we weren't there as people. We weren't there as anything but an attribute of God. Couldn't find us. Listen, you couldn't find you in your day to pull a cell out. Because cells die every day and cells are made every day. You understand what I'm saying? The male, when we produce sperm, sperm dies every day. Sperm live. So see, you couldn't say, well, there you are. The only thing I can trace myself back to is this Word of God. Genesis 1:26 all the way down to now, and then where I'm going. To me, that's that Genesis 1:26, man was not created. We know that. Let us create man. Now, we know that wasn't, there was nothing and then there was something. No, it was a form. It was a forming. God was getting ready to move down to where we can understand who He was. And Paul's fixing to tell us, now that we understand who we are, that we're going to get something. We're going to be heirs and joint heirs. Right? It's like, Brother Harold Hildebrandt, probably 20 years ago, preaching a sermon at Alabama. He said, it's not like God's right here, folks, and you're right here. When He says joint heirs, this is what Jesus gets. He gets this hand right here. Mm-hmm. And you get this. It's not this. This is not joint. You cannot join and be like this. You have to join like this. So whatever He gets, we get. Not up here, not down here, right here. So it's equal. If, remember the Bible says He thought it not robbery to be equal with God? Same way with me and you. Think it not robbery that we are equal with God. Because you know what? That's what He said. I'm going to go back and tell you what He said. He said we're equal with God. And if we have problems, you know what? Paul had problems. Everybody got problems. We all got problems.
Amen.
Amen? But we know how to handle them now. I think we know how to handle them more than we ever have before.
Yes.
Because look, we'll stop right here. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Not revealed in Christ, revealed in God, revealed in me and you. The revelation of this whole thing is going to be that there's going to be a people on the earth that's going to finally come to a place to say there's therefore now no condemnation, and it's going to quicken somebody, and they're going to stand up one day and tell the grave to open up. Well, they won't ever open up. But tell the people in the sixth dimension, hey, come on over here because death has been destroyed.
That's right.
The only reason they don't come over here is because we haven't destroyed death yet. Death is still reigning. Why would you want to come from an eternal place to a place where there's still death? You don't want to do that.
When the Word came into Ezekiel, like you said, He said, that was in His spirit realm.
Yes, that was right. Because all He done was spoke, thus saith the Lord, God would put it in His mind and He would speak it. See, the reason we're in such good shape, I mean, not saying we weren't in Ezekiel's time, but we're in such good shape is that Brother Branham was a born-again Christian, so he had the mind of Christ.
Yes.
So he could clearly, through the gift of being a prophet, God could speak to us straight through. I told him the other day, it's like a big 4-inch pipe that's slick on the inside. And when God poured it in, it just went right out of Brother Branham's mouth. He didn't. Because remember, I'm telling you what he said. He said, I had to go back and listen to the tape and see what I said. He was so much out of himself till it was God speaking to us. And he didn't even have it in his notes. He just got the thought and spoke it. And it was true because he was a true prophet. A conduit. That's all. He was a conduit that let God speak to me and you. Right, let's go.